I lost my job on a cold Tuesday evening, just as Christmas was approaching. The dim light of my laptop flickered in my dingy apartment as I stared at the dreadful email.
Dear Tyra, we're sorry to inform you that due to unforeseen circumstances...
My stomach twisted into a knot. The rent was 2 months overdue, and Mr. Richard, my landlord, had given me a week's deadline to come up with the money or face eviction. I had no savings, no backup plan, and now the reality of being unemployed in a city like L.A. nearly crushed me.
I won't give up.
Determination and desperation led me to Craigslist. Scrolling through endless ads, each one more dubious than the last, I came across an opening. A massage parlor was looking for a masseuse. The pay was good, and they only assigned one client a day. Less work, more money. It seemed perfect. Too perfect, maybe, but I was desperate. So I clicked apply. To my surprise, the response was immediate. The next morning, I arrived at the provided address. It was a small, nondescript building squeezed between a boarded-up deli and a laundromat with flickering neon lights. A petite blonde woman greeted me at the door, barefoot, grinning eye to eye.
Miss Tyra?
She asked.
Yeah, that's me. You must be Daphne. Yes. Please, follow me.
She led me down a narrow hallway to a small room at the back. It was dimly lit, with heavy curtains blocking out any natural light. The air was thick with the scent of lavender and something else, something metallic that made my stomach churn. My unease deepened when I saw the massage table in the center of the room. A man was already lying face down. His white hair was stark against the dark sheets. He looked old and frail, like he'd been lying there for ages. Daphne gestured toward him.
This is Mr. Granger. Your client for today. Just focus on his shoulders. They're very sore.
I nodded, trying to ignore the tightness in my chest.
Okay. One more thing.
She added, her voice dropping to a conspiratorial whisper.
You must be barefoot while you work. Why? It's a rule.
She replied, as if it was a general practice to make your employee work barefoot. My skin prickled at the thought, but I forced a smile and nodded.
Sure. No problem.
Daphne left the room. I slipped off my shoes, the cold tile sending a shiver up my spine, and moved toward Mr. Granger. I introduced myself, trying to ease the tight knot of tension in my gut, but he didn't respond. The only sound were his labored breathing and the soft whimpers escaping his lips as I started massaging his shoulders. The silence grew heavy as the clock ticked and the room's temperature seemed to drop. Half an hour had passed without incident when suddenly the lights flickered. The room was bathed in crimson, casting an eerie glow across everything. My heart skipped a beat, and I froze. Then I heard it, faint at first, but growing louder. It was the unmistakable sound of children's voices, singing nursery rhymes, their laughter echoing off the walls. The hairs on the back of my neck stood on end. This wasn't just strange. It was wrong. Every instinct screamed at me to leave, but I was frozen in place, my mind racing with all the terrible possibilities. Suddenly, I felt something cold and wet against my feet. It was so startling that I let out a small shriek and jerked my foot back. I looked down, expecting to see water, but what I saw instead made my blood run cold. A thin, viscous liquid was pooling around my toes. My heart pounded in my chest. What was this place, and why was everything about it so off? Don't! A voice rasped, breaking the silence. Mr. Granger had growled. I stumbled back, the tray of massage oil clattering to the floor. I hesitated, torn between obeying his command and the overwhelming urge to see what was happening. Curiosity won out. Slowly, I bent down and peered under the table, and that's when I saw it. His face twisted into a grotesque grin, eyes wide with a sickening gleam, and his mouth dripping with saliva. He was literally drooling on my feet, and the way he looked at my feet, like he was savoring a twisted fantasy, made my skin crawl. My breath hitched, panic setting in as the room seemed to close in on me. Without thinking, I turned and bolted for the door, my feet slipping on the tile as I fumbled with the handle. The children's laughter grew louder, more distorted. I finally wrenched the door open and sprinted down the hallway, not daring to look back. I didn't stop running until I was outside. I didn't bother with my shoes. Running was the only thing that made sense, bare feet slapping against the wet pavement. The parlor called several times after that, but I never answered. I packed a bag and moved in with my brother, crashing on his couch until I found a new job, one that didn't involve creepy old men and their disgusting fantasies. But the memory of that day lingers, that follows me wherever I go. And sometimes, late at night, I can still hear the faint echo of children's laughter, which makes me wonder if I'll ever truly escape. I had heard about the new Thai massage parlor from my friends. They couldn't stop talking about it, how the girls there were almost too perfect. No expressions, no small talk, just pure focus on the job. I found it a bit strange, but curiosity got the better of me. After a particularly brutal gym session that left me sore from head to toe, I decided to check it out. The place was tucked away on a quiet street in our quaint town, almost as if it was trying to hide in plain sight. From the outside, it looked like any other upscale spa, with soft lights and lush greenery framing the entrance. Inside, the interior was stunning. Dark wood panels, intricate Thai carvings, and the warm, earthy tones of Thai decor. The air was thick with the scent of jasmine and sandalwood, a blend that both relaxed and heightened my senses. A receptionist, dressed in traditional Thai attire, greeted me with a polite nod and handed me a menu of services. Before I could say much, she led me to a private room. The room was dimly lit, with a low table in the center and soft cushions around it. I settled onto the table, feeling the tension in my muscles ease just from being in the room. A few minutes later, the door slid open, and a petite woman entered. She was beautiful, with delicate features and long, dark hair that flowed like silk down her back. But what struck me was how emotionless she seemed, like a porcelain doll come to life. "Hi, I'm Jack. What's your name?" She didn't respond at first, just moved gracefully to the table, her movements almost mechanical.
"Lada."
Her voice was soft, almost a whisper. She instructed me to relax, not to speak, and most importantly, not to touch her during the massage. The last part made me uncomfortable, but I agreed. The massage started, and I quickly understood why this place was so popular. Her hands moved with precision, kneading out the knots in my muscles with a skill that bordered on surreal. The stress began to melt away, and I let myself sink into the experience. But then, something strange happened. As she moved around the table, her thigh brushed against my hand. A jolt shot through my body, and suddenly I wasn't in the room anymore. I was somewhere else, somewhere dark and terrifying. I saw a village, a remote place in the middle of a dense jungle. It was nighttime. The air was thick with smoke. Houses were burning, and there were screams, the kind that chilled your soul. In the midst of the chaos, I saw a young girl being dragged away by men in military uniforms. Her face was contorted in fear, and as she was pulled into the darkness, our eyes locked. Then, just as quickly as the vision had come, it was gone. I was back in the room, but something was wrong. Lada had stopped moving, frozen in place like a statue. Her hand was still on my shoulder, but there was no warmth, no life in her touch.
"Lada, are you okay?"
No response. She just stood there, unmoving. Panic started to set in. I called her name again, louder this time. Nothing. I reached out, my hand trembling, and touched her arm. Another jolt, and she snapped back to life, gasping if she had been underwater and had just surfaced for air. Tears welled up in her eyes, and when she looked at me, she wasn't the lifeless doll anymore. She was terrified.
"They kidnap. These men. Shadows. They make us drink. And we... statues."
Her words came out in a rush, her voice filled with desperation. My mind raced, trying to process what she was saying. That's when I noticed them. Three figures leaning against the glass door, watching us from outside. Suddenly, the door slid open and one of the men stepped inside. He was tall, his face obscured by the dim light, but there was something wrong about him, something unnatural. His skin was pitch black, like a living shadow. The other two men followed, and the door shut behind them. The man spoke something in Thai. She suddenly resumed the massage, her hands shaking slightly. I knew I had to act, but my body felt frozen with fear. The shadowy figure loomed closer, and I knew this wasn't going to end well. Finally, as the figure reached out for me, something snapped inside. I grabbed the massage oil from the table and hurled it at his face. It didn't seem to hurt him, but it startled him enough to give me an opening. I leapt off the table and charged at the door, slamming into the two shadows blocking it. We tumbled to the floor and I fought like a madman, adrenaline giving me strength I didn't know I had. Somehow, I managed to break free and burst out of the room. I didn't stop running until I was outside, gasping for air, my heart hammering in my chest. When I finally looked back, the massage parlor was dark, the three shadows watching from above. The next day, the place was closed down. No signs, no explanations, just gone. I told my friend what had happened, hoping for some kind of rational explanation, and that is when he told me of the Shadow Men. They're like a myth. Some say they're not human, but creatures who secretly control everything. Lizard people. The legends say they've been around for centuries, hiding in plain sight, running the global order. That parlor must be a part of a larger chain of human trafficking. I couldn't believe what I was hearing, but something about it made sense. I can't help but wonder if they would still come for me. I had always been the fastest in the pool, and I knew I would take home the gold at the inter-school championship. My dream was to be on that podium, hearing the crowds roar and feeling the medal's weight around my neck. But a week before the great event, during routine practice, I felt a sharp pain shoot through my shoulder. It's only a cramp, just a cramp, I told myself. It was not excruciating enough to stop me from swimming, but I knew that any weakness on my part would cost me the win. It was my best friend, Peter, a fellow swimmer, who noticed when I cringed in the middle of stretching. Having an admission from me about the cramp, he suggested I should try some deep tissue massages to relax the muscle. He even gave me an address, saying it was the best place in town for that kind of thing. Massages weren't my thing, but Peter insisted that it would make a world of difference. So I made an appointment. The massage parlor was hidden on a quiet street. It had nothing shiny about it. But as soon as I walked through the door, I felt like I'd entered another world. A blend of lavender and something citrusy filled the air, and blue lights were beaming from every corner. Then came a beautiful receptionist with such a warm smile, very inviting. She showed me to the room at the back. Pictures of serene landscapes hung in the room, and the muffled sound of breaking ocean waves convinced me that I was someplace far away from championship pressures. I had barely settled in when a blonde man entered the room. He flashed me a warm smile, one that instantly made me feel at home. "I'm Carlos, your masseuse for today," he said, while holding out a glass of fresh orange juice. At that moment, I was unclear whether I should drink it before or after the massage, so I took a sip. It was fresh, just as I needed. "Go on and lie down, Liam," he said very soothingly. I obeyed him, lying down on the soft mattress as he turned the lights down even more. The waves in the background increased, and I could almost feel the sand beneath my feet. Even as Carlos sat to it, I could feel my muscles unwinding slowly under his touch. "You've got quite a cramp in your shoulder," he said, his hands working quite skillfully over the sore spot. "Yeah, that's why I'm here. I can't afford to let it slow me down. I've got a championship to win," I replied, my voice muffled by the pillow. Carlos stopped and continued.
"You know, there's this ancient technique I could try, acupuncture. It had always proved very effective in such cases of pain. You're going to feel a small sting, but afterward, it'll be as if the cramp never was there."
I paused. I couldn't stand needles, yet there was something about this place. The lights, the sounds, the calming presence of Carlos that made me feel safe. Okay, let's do it. I agreed. Carlos promised it wouldn't sting much, and it didn't. Just a small prick when he inserted the needle. The feeling was quite strange, almost as if an electric current ran through my body, but by no means unpleasant. Then, I could feel myself slipping away, submerging in the weariness of weeks of heavy, intensive training. That's when the dream began, or rather, the worst nightmare. In the dream, I was alone on the deserted beach, waves licking my feet. Only this water wasn't the usual deep blue. It was some sickening, dirty, dark red. The sky overhead was cracked and broken, lightning flashing in with a deafening roar. With each flare of lightning, the sound that reverberated sent chills down my spine, a noise that sounded wet, a tearing noise, as of ripping open the flesh. Panicked, I started to run, desperately in need of a way off the beach. My feet pounded against the sand, but no matter how far I ran, I couldn't get away from the blood-red waves. Finally, I came across a figure on top of a lifeguard stand. It was Carlos, eating something, and as I drew closer, I realized with horror that it wasn't food. It was a human organ, blood dripping from his hands and mouth. Carlos shot out a huge bloody grin, and I knew something isn't right. I shouted, my voice echoed along the deserted shore, and then I finally woke up. But I wasn't in the massage parlor anymore. Instead, I was lying in a hospital bed with a sharp throbbing pain in my stomach. My parents were there, obviously terrified and relieved at the same time. What happened? I croaked, my throat dry. My mother took my hand, tears in her eyes.
When you didn't come home for 2 days, we called the police. They found you in the basement of a massage parlor, left to die.
The memories came flooding back, and I realized with a sickening jolt that the dream wasn't just a nightmare. It was an echo of the horror I had endured. Carlos had drugged me on the very table and lowered me into the secret basement where they collected organs from unsuspecting victims. The police said that Carlos and his gang had been selling organs on the black market. They'd been doing it for years, taking into account only the young people like us who would make no difference if we went missing for a few days. Peter, my so-called friend, was in on the game too, and brought kids like me into their parlor. They sent him to a juvenile prison, while the rest of the gang members are behind bars now. But it didn't matter to me, as I looked up into the ceiling from my bed in that goddamn hospital. I had lost a kidney, something you lose and can never get back. I'd lost the dream of the championship, replaced by a nightmare that had become my reality. But as I closed my eyes, I heard those waves. I would never forget the sound of those blood-red waves.